Concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul is instructing them about taking up an offering for the poor saints at Jerusalem. There's a famine there. And someone has said, see there, they sold their possessions and parted their lots and brought the price thereof and laid it at the apostles' feet. And I had one good friend of mine, more than one, but one particularly said, you see, it didn't work. No, you didn't get it. It is working. The Bible said, ye shall reap what you sow. Amen. Here they sold out and kept the camp meeting going in Jerusalem. And now Paul is traveling all over the world, taking up an offering for them. And there's going to be a group of people in Jerusalem that are specially blessed in a little while when Paul carries this offering that he's took up in Macedonia and Corinth and all across Asia. Praise God, to help the poor saints at Jerusalem in the time of that great dearth. That's why they were in trouble. There was great dearth in the land. Amen. And now you see it's working. A lady stood up in St. Louis, Missouri, and took up an offering for a widow of a preacher who had just died. She said, I'll go to bat for you today, and you can go to bat for me tomorrow. That widow woman took up that offering. I was there when she took it up. It wasn't too many years until her husband died with a heart attack. And somebody had to take her up an offering. We reap what we sow. And get this, I might repeat it again in this service tonight. Preachers reap what they sow faster than anybody. Come on. Amen. Preachers and Sunday school teachers, that's the many masters the Bible speaks about, they reap what they sow faster than anybody. Why? Because they know more. Or at least pretend to. Should. If they're going to teach, they ought to know more. Amen. And so preachers reap what they sow faster than anybody. Amen. Years ago, I was at Brother Cook's house, my wife's old pastor, when he called up Wilnie Markham, who had been out of church for a week or two, and he told him how that he ought to be faithful to church, that the Lord's coming soon. Amen. And this was 40 years ago now. Amen. A little over 40 years ago. In fact, I wasn't even married yet. So it was a little over 42 or 3 years ago. However long I've been married, I don't. Amen. And he said, it wasn't too many years till Wilnie felt called to preach. Tell him, send him a tape. He lives right up here in West Carrollton. Amen. Send him this tape. See if he don't agree with you. Amen. Wilnie felt called to preach. Amen. And I heard him cry. Well, not literal tears, but whine, you know, about how people do in church. Amen. I heard his children, not firsthand but secondhand, say, I hate such and such a church. Why? Because of the problems that the pastor, their dad, had had. I hate Full Gospel Tabernacle. I hate Middletown. Why? Because it had problems. Well, now listen. One reason a preacher has problems is because he sowed it. Amen. Woe be unto that fellow that takes up the bishopric to preach the gospel and he's been unfaithful himself. He will inherit very shortly a whole church full of unfaithful. Well, maybe half full. Huh? Or maybe three-fourths full. Don't take very many to break your heart. Amen. It don't take very many when you're in revival and doing your best to help somebody, doing your best to see somebody saved, get enough people together that they'd be a catalyst to encourage the sinner to come, because if the saints don't come, how can you expect the sinner to come? And we're trying to get enough together, and you're dragging and flagging and being unfaithful. And boy. Amen. Taking trips on the weekend. I'll work all week. Amen. I do too. But I learned a long time ago, get your priorities straight. Put God first in your life. Amen. And if you're going to take a trip to Gatlinburg, don't go on the weekend. Go on your own time. Don't steal God's. Amen. Hallelujah. Take off work if you have to. Amen. Go on your own time, but don't steal God's time. Hallelujah. Put God first. Well, that's free. I'll throw that in. Amen. Put God first. And then somebody might be able to get a prayer through for you. Amen. Yeah. How would you like for people to pray for you if you was dying? Well, have you ever heard anybody say, I wonder why they can't get a hold of God up there? I wonder why we ain't having more miracles up there. I wonder why this don't happen, that don't happen. We sowed it. Amen. If we don't get down to business praying for somebody else, ain't nobody else going to get down to business praying for us. Well. It was working for the Corinthian church. I'm not preaching on that, but I repeat, preachers reap what they sow faster than anybody. Amen. That's the reason I go a lot. If I expect people to come here, amen, you got to get out and fellowship. Amen. One reason some preachers don't fellowship is because they're going to steal everybody's members in the valley that they can steal, and it's kind of hard to face up and fellowship, brother, that you're stealing their sheep. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. I'm going to take them right back to the same places, praise God. And we're going to have to face up anyway, hallelujah. So be led of the Lord in these areas, for we will shortly reap what we have sowed. Everybody will. But preachers reap what they sow faster than anybody. Here's a group of people in Jerusalem that's going to be blessed because they blessed. Here's a group of people in Jerusalem that Paul's going to go through all of Asia, him and Timothy and Titus, and take up an offering in all the churches and take a relief offering, I mean in a day, when they didn't have no Social Security. In a day when they didn't have old age pension. In a day when they didn't have public assistance, right. Amen. My mom got 72 and they having a little problem there at the home where she was. Said, oh, well, the man up there in the office said, she's 72 now. She's eligible for public assistance. No problem. Amen. The public assistance took up where the other took off. Amen. But we reap what we sow. And preachers reap what they sow faster than anybody. And secondly, preachers' wives reap what they sow. and preacher's families reap what the preacher has sowed. Huh? Amen. Well, praise God, if we want good crowds at our homecoming, we want good crowds at our revival, we want good crowds for a catalyst to make it worth the sinner's while to come to church, make it interesting and exciting about coming to church, and amen, things are rolling and God's blessing and people are coming in, amen, we need to sow that kind of seed. And so I'm glad that a lot of you are. Amen. We had 43 last night, 42 last night. Brother Pascarella said, "Are you still counting Lucas?" You know, he used to count him, and I used to count him when we counted our people down in the churches and the fellowship. Amen. So I told him, I said, I had 42 and a half there last night. He was half his and half mine, or was at least. Amen. Hallelujah. And he asked me if I was still counting Lucas. I said, yeah, I got 42 and a half people here tonight. Amen. The reason I know is Rachel wrote them down, wrote all her names down and counted. So she didn't miss anybody. Amen. You say, I'm too busy. I've got too much to do. There will come a time that you'll need help and you'll wonder why ain't nobody rallying. And you didn't rally to help nobody. We reap what we sow. Huh? Hallelujah. I'm too busy. I've got too much to do. That's just exactly the way it'll be. Everybody else will be too busy and have too much to do when it comes your time to reap. Amen. We'll wonder where the yeller went. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, whom will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Here the Macedonian church has done a great work. Amen. And now Paul is challenging the Corinthian church with the Macedonian church to get with it. The Macedonian church, the poorest church in the bunch, gave a big offering and begged Paul to receive it. Amen. With much entreaty, the Bible said. And they've already got their offering together and you're dragging your feet. That's what Paul's telling the Corinthian church. And they're one of the better to do churches. They've got all the gifts. Amen. I mean, you talk about a Pentecostal church. Amen. Hallelujah. They were a charismatic church, if you will. That's not a bad word. It's just a lot of folks have made it sound bad by the way they live. Charismatic simply means gifted or pertaining to the gift. Charisma is gift. Charismatic means pertaining to the gift. Amen. And gifted. And hence comes the word charismatic, which carries with it a liberal intonation today. Amen. Even though it's a good word, it's been abused and misused and drug in the dirt till nobody wants to use it. Hey, I don't believe in allowing things to be taken away from us just because somebody drug it in the dirt. I don't believe that the church ought to quit speaking in tongues and interpreting just because it had some false tongues and false interpretation across town. I don't believe the church ought to quit prophesying just because it had some false prophecy around and people abusing the gift. I don't believe we ought to get blackmailed by the devil and get pegged by the devil, pushed off in the corner and robbed of what we had first. I don't think we ought to quit running, dancing, and shouting, and glorifying God, and praising God with a loud voice, and clapping our hands because the charismatics cabbaged onto it. We had it first. I'm not going to let that bunch of hooligans take my blessing away. Amen. I'm going to try to do better. Amen. I believe that the general run of the mill, even the sinners, can tell the difference. Can you say amen? Sure they can. They tell the difference of the reality and the unreality. So I don't think we ought to get blackmailed, amen, by this bunch that says Looky there, you're doing like so-and-so. Hey, I've done that before they ever copied it. I've done that before they ever drug it in the dirt. Praise God. And I tried to keep it clean. Amen. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come to you when I shall pass through Macedonia. For I do pass through Macedonia. I was wondering about this war that's going on. And I opened my Bible yesterday morning. I think it was yesterday morning. Take this war and cause it to work for good for a few people that might hear the gospel and in their desperation cry out to Jesus and call on Jesus. And Jesus hears and answers. Some little child is going to call on Jesus. Amen. In that terrible, terrible war with all those refugees and such horrible circumstances and Lumumba? What is that African country where they had 150,000 bodies? Rwanda. Amen. Billy Graham's son was going through some of those African countries that were so torn by those horrible tragedies, the war and the refugees and the starvation. Amen. And he came upon a little girl going back and forth repeating over and over something in a language he couldn't understand. He called the interpreter, and the interpreter said, "She's speaking French." He said, "What is she saying?" He said, "She's saying, 'Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong.'" Amen. She was singing what she'd learned from a missionary. There's hope when the children begin to cry. There's hope when the children, amen, begin to say in their prayers, "Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible, I tell you, He's a God of miracles." Amen. And He will allow something like that to survive when 10,000 fall at their right hand. He'll hear a child's prayer. Praise God. And so some missionary sowed the seed, and now it's bringing forth fruit. And I kind of believe that the Lord has some plans for Macedonia. I didn't know. Amen. But the Lord can take this terrible, terrible thing that's happening. Amen. And I might pose the question, what if? And when we send ground troops into Yugoslavia, the Russians get stirred up and send volunteers in to counter. And the Chinese get stirred up and send volunteers in to counter. Huh? What if? Amen. And the first thing you know, you've got World War III on your hand. Amen. But hey, that's going to happen sooner or later anyway. World War III is going to happen sooner or later anyway. We better learn to pray before it happens. We better teach everybody we can to pray before it happens. Praise God. Well, glory to God. In the words of Paul, he said, "I do pass through Macedonia." And I felt like the Lord was speaking to me that He still would pass through Macedonia. All we got to do is let Him. All we got to do is invite Him. Amen. All He needs is two or three to invite Him. Huh? Two or three to invite Him. Would you like for Jesus to pass through Hamilton? Would you like for Jesus to pass through the highway of holiness? How many have been praying that way? Say amen. Has God been answering your prayer for over a solid year? He's been passing through, hasn't He? Look here, sitting in the amen corner, on the front seat. Praise God. And all around, new converts. Praise God. Amen. So new that We used to look at Gary and Karenita's new converts. Now they look like old converts. Amen. They look like veterans, praise God. Hey, amen. Hallelujah. There was first Brother Tom, and now, amen, here old Brother Ray, he'll be coming in here in a minute. Praise God. That's Dad. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Come in shaking and a-trembling and call me back there where you're sitting, way back there, not too far from Brother Dave Meyer, and he said, I want you to pray for me. Amen. And I did, and praise God, the first thing he did was hit the altar that night, and he did, and amen, God heard him, and God answered prayer. God passed by. Hallelujah. He's still passing by. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. There is a story of long ago. Men roamed in darkness, nowhere to go. One day the scene changed. Amen. I'll tell you why. There was a reason. Jesus passed by. Glory and honor be to the King. Shout hallelujah. Make praises ring. Amen. There's a reason, folks. Jesus passed by. It'll make the praises ring when Jesus passes by. Of course, when Paul passed through Macedonia, he's going to take Jesus with him. And when we pass through town, we'll take Jesus with us. When we go to the mall, we ought to take Jesus with us. When we go to the lake, we ought to take Jesus with us. Hey, amen. We go to the closet, we ought to take Jesus with us. Amen. Maybe I'll abide ye in winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I'll tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. How could Ephesus sink so low and their love grow cold with men like that passing by? You get used to the best of men. Amen. And you laughingly say, oh, Paul said so and so, and we ignore the fact that God was speaking through Paul. Amen. We ought to straighten our face up and say, God said so and so. Amen. Well, amen. A great door of effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timothy has come, see that he may come with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. He's just like me. Amen. He's got the same standards I've got. He has the same ideals I have. He has the same honesty that I have. You can count on his word. When he says, I'll do it, I'll do it. Amen. Now that's the way I believe in living. When you say you'll be there Friday at 1 o'clock, I believe you ought to be there Friday at 1 o'clock. Amen. Or you ought to give a phone call and say, I'm going to be held up. Amen. You ought not just leave folks hanging. Hallelujah. Now, I ask them, I say, when they say I'll be there at 1 o'clock, I've got so used to dealing with folks, you know, in the world particularly. I say, now, does your 1 o'clock mean 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, or 4 o'clock? If you'll tell me which it means, I'll meet you then. Amen. But nowadays, you know, you can't count. When people say that, I think you ought to do it, don't you? Amen. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. Amen. There comes Brother Ray. Amen. One of our new converts I was talking to you about. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Been praying for him for a good while. Here he is, right on the amen corner, every service. Praise God. That's an answer to prayer, isn't it? Amen. Glory to God. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. That don't mean stop. That word quit is old English for act like men. Did you ever tempted to say to somebody that ought to know better, why don't you grow up? Well, that's really what Paul's saying. Grow up. Act like men. Be strong. Praise God. Let all your things be done with charity. That ought to be the motivating force behind everything we do. It won't do us any good unless it is. It may do some temporary good for the other folks that we're doing it to, but it'll not last. Paul said, if I give my body to be burned, have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Amen. If I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Amen. Folks, this is an all-volunteer army. I can preach till I'm red in the face and tell you how you ought to, but till you want to, catches up with you ought to, it ain't going to do you any good. Hallelujah. You got to want to. You got to have that drive. You got to have that impelling, compelling, constraining force. Amen. The love of God, Paul said, constrains us. Amen. And oh, praise God for the great love of God. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. What a wonderful habit! I mean, they just got the ministry to the saints and they got such a blessing out of it that they couldn't quit and they just kept ministering. And that word ministry is like that word service. Amen. It's giving to the saints. It's feeding them. When Peter's mother-in-law got healed, she arose and ministered unto them. That's the same word that they're using here. What did Peter's mother-in-law do? She got up and cooked supper for the whole band that was following Jesus. That was Jesus and the 12 plus a whole bunch of stragglers along. Amen. Matthias was in there. He was with them from the beginning. He was probably one of the 70. Amen. Barsabbas was probably in the bunch. Amen. And so Jesus usually had a whole bunch with him, and Peter's mother-in-law got up and fixed cornbread and beans for the whole party. And this hallelujah bunch went and had a midnight lunch. I'm so glad I'm on the inside looking out. That's a song. I'll sing it for you sometime. I haven't sung it so long I forgot it. Amen. But it goes like this. Paul and Silas went down to old Philippi and determined that they'd preach the word or die. When a damsel hell-possessed to defeat them tried her best, until Paul turned around and blacked the devil's eye. So they locked him up with none to go their bail, but they sang and prayed to one who never fails. Then an earthquake shook the place, and the jailer showed his face. Paul said, do thyself no harm, we've not broke jail. Oh, I'd rather be on the inside looking out than to be on the outside looking in. Then this hallelujah bunch went and had a midnight lunch. I'm so glad I'm on the inside looking out. You know what the first thing the jailer did when he got saved? He ministered to Paul and Silas. He washed their stripes and he washed their bruises, amen, and fixed a midnight dinner for the persecuted men of God. Amen. Come around and let's pray a little bit.